Is everybody back in? Pretty much. Because y'all come on back in, then you can be dismissed if you want to. First of all, I want to piggyback on what we did. There's no sense in just simply praying for people, even though prayer is a wonderful thing. Because John Wesley said, God does nothing except an answer to prayer. And so I want you to mark on your calendar that on March the 5th, after our regular tithe, we're going to receive a special offering for financial needs. All right, on March the 5th, we're going to have a regular tithe offering, and then we'll pass the hat again, and everything that comes in that offering, the following Sunday, March the 12th, I would do it on the 5th, but I'm pretty sure people are going to give checks. We're going to figure it up. My secretary will tell him how much the amount is. I'm going to write a check for that amount, and I'm going to bring cash to the church on March the 12th. And if you have a financial need, we're going to have part of the service where you can come and get whatever God lays on your heart to get out of the offering basket, any cash amount. Now, that puts the fear of God on you not to take all of it if you're the first one in line and nobody else. But we want to put feet to our prayers here. We want to bless you and sow into your life and into your need, whatever it may be. I have no idea what the amount will be. It may be $10. It may be $2,000. I have no idea. So guys, the rest of you, listen. You be praying about sowing in to the needs of the body of Christ here. Other people that are working, but that just have hard luck right now. Anybody ever been down on your luck? And you just need a little infusion of love and encouragement. Now, listen, you've got to come back for that Sunday. I'm not going to mail it to you, all right? You've got to come back, all right, for that Sunday. We're going to receive that offering on March the 5th, and then on March the 12th, as part of our worship, at the end of the worship, those who had financial needs, we're going to let you, I'm going to have a basket here, and you come and take out what you feel like God wants you to take out, all right? It may be part of your need, maybe half of your need. It may only be 2% of your need. That's between you and God, all right? And we're going to have prayer together, and we're going to bless you as our way of saying we believe in you and we believe that God's going to bless you and that this is just the beginning of your financial breakthrough. Amen? And the other thing is that, worship team, I want to meet with you on the 6th of March, which is a Monday at 7 o'clock. Now, I've decided, and if it's just me, that's fine, but I like praying 3 days a week so much that it is just awesome to be with the family of God and pray. And I tell you, we've been focusing on God purifying our hearts and burning out what we got. The word of the Lord was clutter. We felt like there was a lot of clutter in the lives of Christians in general, but also in our community of faith. And God wants us to seek the kingdom first. And when you do that, what does He promise to do? He said He'll add to you whatever need you may have. Now, it might not be in your time frame or your timetable, but He will bless you. And because He's promised to do that. So worship team, 7 o'clock. Whoever wants to come in for prayer that Monday, which is the Monday the 6th, we will, instead of going from 5 to 7, we'll just go from 5 to 6, and then I'll have a brief meeting with some of the worship team, stuff that's on my heart, some things that I'd like to see changed, and for more of an excellent attitude toward, we already got great worship, but for example, today we just didn't have words on there. You can't worship if you don't have words, and we need to work on that aspect of it and things of that nature. It's all going to be good, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Some other announcements that I have. Prayer Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Tomorrow is from 5 to 7. Wednesday is from 7 to 8. And Saturday is from 9 to noon. You can come and go as you wish. You don't have to stay the whole time. But I really, those of you who have been coming, have you been blessed coming here and praying? Those of you, we got a few, amen to that. It's good. And then Jean has opened up the church on Monday? Thursday and Friday. Thursday and Friday at 6. If you're an early riser, you can come and pray at 6. Before you go to bed, feel free to make coffee if you want to, anything of that. Now, what we have is yours, so you be blessed in that department as well. yo! Yeah, 6 a.m. 6 in the morning. Yeah, it's not for the weak of heart. I'm teasing. You can do it. What else have I got going on here? Men's meeting, March the 18th at 6 p.m. Now, Dale is cooking up a feast. He's got his new smoker that we're going to christen. Well, at least christen for the church. He's already christened it at the house. Guys, listen, we got a sign-up sheet. And the reason why we need you to sign up is so we know how much meat to prepare. There'll always be more, so you can take some home with you. But I've got Franco Gennaro coming. Frank and I have been working together for a number of years, past 3 years. We've been going into Cuba together. And I'm going to try to see if I can get Mark Ingram, the running back for the New Orleans Saints, to come. But I don't know if he'll have time or not. But I'm trying to find him and get him to come and be a part of this thing as well. Introduce you guys to Mark, and he's a great guy, loves Jesus. So that's going to be going on. Guys, listen. Here, I'm fixing to impart a spiritual gift to you. I bless you with a motor mouth. Open your mouth and invite your friends that night. All right? It's a free meal. And then we can love on them. And sometimes people just are lonely and they need a loving hand or a loving arm just to hug and say, hey, man, we're in this together. We can walk out the kingdom of God together regardless of what's going on in your life. So, guys, will you do that? Quit looking at the floor and look at me. All right? Will you do that? How many is going to do that? Anybody going to do that? Or I think it's going to call fire on you. All right? Open your mouth. I got two ladies over here that said they're doing it, and they're not even men. You're doing it. Okay, that's good. Ladies, help me here. Open your mouths and invite people here. It's a free meal, and we just want to love on them. All right? What I'll probably do in the future is have it outside the church, because some people don't like church buildings, you know. And we'll just have it somewhere like in the park or someplace like that in the near future. We got a lot of stuff that's changing. I've changed a lot. I'm just excited about what God's doing here. So please sign up and please invite somebody for that meeting. Yes, ma'am. Date is at March the 18th at 6 p.m. until we get done. At the church. And next time we won't have it here. We'll have it, we'll go to Gene and Sean's park and have it there. So can you set up there? Yeah, okay. Oh, glory to God. All right, we'll have it here to begin with, but because I've already sent out invitations and I've got guys that said they'd be here. I don't want to go and confuse them. So next time we'll change it, okay, so we can be out in the public. And listen, I believe in high impact but low visibility. High impact. Low visibility. In other words, we don't want to be tooting our own horn. We want the Holy Ghost to toot our horns so that people's lives are being touched and that they know that there's a God in heaven that loves them. So we've got that going on. What else am I leaving out? I don't know what I'm leaving out. School of Supernatural tonight. And as way of our way of saying thank you to our guest, here's a gift card. Go get a cup of coffee on us. All right? Or a frappuccino, or a cappuccino, or a rap-a-bap-a-vappuccino, whatever those things are called. We'd like to bless our visitors. And if you guys have a great experience here, which we trust that you will, please feel free to invite your friends to come. They'll get a card too. But only once. Only once, first-time visitors. We don't give them out if you come back, all right? But we will love on you. I promise you, you'll feel the Holy Ghost and God's touching you in a powerful way. Any other news? Throne room, 7 o'clock. Thank you. Throne room, 7 o'clock. Come and just get a piece of carpet and soak in the presence of God. You can stay as long as you want. Get up and leave 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever the case may be. Or you can sit through the whole time and it's good. There's not an agenda. You just come and sit in the presence of God. Pray. Just let God love on you. How many of you know sometimes you just need to let God love on you some? Amen. It's just like, remember when you were little, you're crawling up in your daddy's lap and just let him hug you a little bit. You know, daddy's hug just takes care of about 90% of all the problems. Amen. So we're going to do that. It's lots of good stuff that's happening. Tentatively, I'm going back into Cuba on the 24th of June. Going in there, working with a church down in Tampa. I've been invited to be a part of that. I personally will probably kind of, I'll be with them, but my point is they want me to connect with the seminary down there and a couple of other what they call training schools. And they're talking about wanting me to come in more regularly and teach in those settings. And it's kind of like, don't throw me in that briar patch. You know, I pray about that with me, will you? I really want to be more involved. God's doing a powerful work in Cuba. Oh, Lord. Don't go there. Don't go there. All right. Oh, we want to receive the offering. Amen. Our tithes and offering. So if you need a cash envelope, please do not put cash in the bag without your name on it. All right? Mr. IRS wants us to make sure we have names. We used to could just receive cash with no receipts. And, you know, there's no constant in the universe except bureaucratic mentality. So you got to deal with it. So otherwise, if you write a check, you're good. Anybody else need an envelope? Are we good? All right? Good, 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 good. Got an envelope over here. Earl. Got an envelope over here. You falling down on your jaw. Oh. We got a cloning so he can be in two places at once. So, amen. Just sit it right there. Thank you. Amen. Today our attendance is a tad bit down, but last week we were standing room only for a while. We had to drag out some chairs. I am already looking for a larger place, and being bodacious or just silly, I put a bid on a place. You remember Chef's? I put a bid on that place. I put a bid. $2.5 million of intangible tax credits over a 10-year period. All they can say is yes, right? Or maybe no. I don't know. So, anyhow, I did that. You need an envelope? You got a pen. Okay. So, please, if you've happened to see a place that maybe consider $150, $200, feel free to kind of filter that on down here. Things are changing and stuff is happening, and I'm thrilled about it. So, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget your shoes. Don't you love kids in the house? We just love kids in the house, man, I tell you. Amen. See you later, guys. Y'all remember when you had those? Huh? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we just ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Use this money to further your kingdom in the earth today, Lord. And Father, I just grace each and every one of us to be pliable to the known will of God. Those things that you've been talking to us about, God, I pray that you give us grace to face the difficulties. Because just on the other side of that difficulty is the breakthrough. And we just thank you for that, God. We love you and we bless you. Bless the gift and the giver. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Let him receive that. Normally we do the offering first and then make the announcement, so I'm out of kilter. So I always forget something, it seems. Tomorrow I go to the CPA to get my taxes done. Somebody say, yay, don't forget your taxes. I want to share a testimony. You know, we have a group up in Valdosta. It's growing leaps and bounds. In fact, it's overtaken this group. It's larger. We went on a treasure hunt, which is where we get together and pray and ask God to show us where we're supposed to go and who we're supposed to minister to. And we do that by asking God what kind of clothing they wear. And it's a fun exercise in understanding how to hear the voice of God, which is based upon John 10:27, that my sheep hear my voice. And so we're trying to activate people's ability to discern the voice of God. Because listen, when you're in crisis and when you're in difficulty, the thing you need is not wisdom from the world. You need wisdom from God. And part of that is being able to discern what He's saying to you. Because once He says something to you, you got God backing it up, and He's going to bring a breakthrough for you. All right? So we did that yesterday, and in an hour and 40 minutes, we had 10 encounters all over Valdosta and Lowndes County. And I'm here to tell you, we had a time of our lives. We had a bridge and a name of a street. And I wasn't in all of these encounters because I had my own group. I had in my group there were six under the age of 10. I loved it. Let me tell you something. Little ones are fearless. You know, I'd see, I'm with them. I'm going with them. You know, it was one of those type of things. So we got there, and it was at the VSU parking lot, that huge one they used to have. It was totally empty, but with one girl. And they looked at their clues, and she had exactly what the clues said that the person was going to be wearing. And so they went up to her, and one of the prayer needs was grief. And they got there, and they stopped her and entered into a conversation, showed her the clues, and she just immediately started crying. And she said, 2 weeks ago, I just lost my mom. So they held hands right there and prayed for her. The Spirit of God touched her in a powerful way. And she left that group knowing that there was a God in heaven who loved her. And she also wanted to know where we meet. You know, it was one of those type of things. We also went it's a fancy clothing place. What? Navy? Is there something? Old Navy. Went to Old Navy, and we saw the guy had 4 out of the 4 clues, but there was one other thing up that the only color of the clue was a payment place. And so we were thinking, we looked up, we saw a little sign. You know how some businesses will say, pay your telephone bill here? Well, there it was. And so there's 5 out of the 5 clues, went up and introduced ourselves to him. And it's just so funny because a lot of people are just so nonchalant because they don't believe. Number 1, if they believe in God, it's a cerebral thing and not a heart thing. And so we went up and we showed him the clues, and he said, well, I really don't have any needs. I mean, he was just so nonchalant, and no, I don't have any needs. And so we're sitting there going, Lord, you did not bring us to... I mean, he's got everything. All the clues line up here. And so we just kept quizzing him. No, I don't have any... No, and finally a word of knowledge came and said, do you have back pain? And he said, all the time. And so we asked permission to pray for him, and we began to pray for him. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God fell on that man. Now, I'm trying to set this picture because he is like as stale as the day is long. I mean, it's just monotone, yes, no. And so when we began to pray for him, about 30 seconds into the prayer, he starts doing this. You know, it takes a straight face not to laugh, you know. Because I know God's starting to touch him, you know. And so we finally stop and we say, you know, what's going on? He said, I'm burning up. And I said, well, sometimes, you know, the Spirit of God is described as fire. Looks like, God, you're getting a touch of the fire of God. You know, how's your pain? He said, it's almost gone. And we said, well, we like to get it 100%. Can we pray one more time? And he said, yes. And so we prayed again. And as God is my witness, he started sweating so much you could see it stain his shirt. That's the power of the Spirit of God. And he starts to cry, but he's so dignified. He reminds me of somebody from England. Yeah, he was so, but he starts to cry. And we looked at him and he said, what's going on? He said, it's completely gone. He said, I have never not had pain. I have never not had pain. It was such a powerful moment. And it was kind of, you know, why? Sir, listen, he's a good God. We don't know you from Adam's house cat, but he gave us the clues. You're wearing what our clue says, and you're right here by the Southern Bell Payment Center. Don't you think God has your number? He said, well, evidently he does. We believe in this kind of stuff. We want to train the saints to be effective in their walk with God and the kingdom of God. And oftentimes I've seen, speaking about financial breakthroughs, when people's hearts and lives get right with God about 2 years later because they're obeying God, the blessings of finances are just flowing all over them. And sometimes it's a creative idea where they start doing something or start their own business and they, you know, are kind of like, hey, got more money than Carter has liver pills. You know, it's one of those type of things. So I just want to encourage you today that God is doing a really, I'm blessed. I sometimes I get up in the mornings, the first thing I do is pinch. It's kind of like, yep, this is real. I'm really doing this. I can't believe the privilege that I have to go, and not just in this area and in this community, but to go into the world and share the good news that God loves you and He can set you free from anything that holds you back. And most of the times it's because we've sinned and made wrong choices. But God forgives those things and He sets us free so we can walk in freedom and a little bit of joy too, a little bit of happiness. That's a good thing. Amen. All right, that's my testimony. We usually let somebody testify. I thought I'd testify today, so I get to do this. Praise God. I want to kind of continue where we were. If you'll go to 1 Peter, I think. I'll let you know in just a second. I got to go there after I find it. All right. Yep, there it is. First Peter chapter 2, and we're going to try to conclude on this. One of the things that I run into as I teach and have the opportunity to preach is just how little people that claim to be Christians truly understand who they are and to whom they belong. And this scripture really highlights that, and I'm going to read it again and then piggyback on what I've already preached and taught a little bit on. And if you want to get the other ones, you can go on our, I don't even know the website, I forget the name of it, but Earl will tell you. Anybody know the website? That's crazy, I don't even know our own website. But anyhow, it's there. So it says this, verse 6, "Therefore it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and to he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you," in other words, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, "you are a chosen generation." Number one. Number two, a royal priesthood. Number three, a holy nation. Number four, his own special people, that you may proclaim, and here's the reason why, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained, it says, mercy, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And I think I named this this sermon series that I do. I do a lot of series, by the way. But do you see yourself as part of royalty, or do you see yourself as a pauper? Listen. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as royalty, or do you see yourself as pauper? You know, one of the things I've learned, you remember Moses, you know, he was put in the water, if you remember Moses, and because they were killing all the kids, the kids, and so his mama loved him so much that she put him in the water, and the Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter found him and pulled him out and actually named him Moses, which means out from the water in the Hebrew. And brought him in, and he was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. He was raised in royalty. He was versed and taught about what it meant to be a son of Pharaoh. And is it any wonder that God chose him? Do you think someone who is a pauper mentality could lead 4 million Jews out of bondage with a mentality of, oh, woe is me? You see, God put him through that school of royalty so he would have a royal mentality, and chose him so that he could lead the children of Israel. And listen, they weren't exactly a happy bunch. If you read the story of Exodus, they were wanting to kill him, wanting to stone him, complaining and whining all the time. And see, a pauper would say, I'm fixing to pull my sword out and kill about 100 million of you. You know, I'm tired of all this whining. But you see, he was royalty, and he understood how people acted and how they responded and when they're ugly and why they get mean. And you start getting hungry, you're going to start doing something. But it was royal mentality that allowed him to say, you know, I'm going to keep taking this back to my father. I'm taking it back. God's going to instruct me. And indeed, if you read the story, you know, he did. How do you see yourself? And in our day and time, it is so critical. Listen, the world, I think I said this earlier, but the Moffat translation, there's a ton of translations. I love the Moffat translation. And in Romans 12, it says, he translates it this way. He says, don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt out of options? Everywhere you turn, this shuts down, that shuts down, this shuts down. You know, one of the reasons why they're having such revival in Cuba right now is because they ran out of options. When the wall fell in Germany, y'all remember that great day when it fell? Overnight, all that Russian money that they were giving to Cuba stopped. Hundreds of millions of dollars stopped. And it only takes 3 or 4 days for the grocery shelves to go bare. How many was last time we had that hurricane? And after it was safe to go out that day, and you went back into Walmart and you walked around and you're going, there's nothing in the shelves. It doesn't take 3 days. If something hit America, in 3 days there would be no food. You don't know that, but I'm telling you, 3 days. This is proven. This is government stuff. In 3 days. And so here's Cuba, and you know what happened? They finally realized the only thing that we can rely upon is that a good God and a loving God. Most of them didn't even believe in God. But it's kind of like, yeah, it's time to fish or cut bait here. We need to get right with God. And so for several years, they cried out for help. How many know something? When God hears that, he moves. And the group that I worked with last year, 6,932 came into the kingdom. And most of them are under the age of 35. And they are wildly in love with Jesus. The government doesn't know what to do with them. They don't have a big enough jail to put them all in jail. So they, you know, doing all kind of threatening stuff. You keep your eye on Cuba. You're going to see some stuff. It's going to be good. I'm going to wave on you at you at TV, on TV. We talked about several things about when we finally come to a place that we see ourselves in royalty. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you see yourself as a pauper, that tomorrow all of a sudden you're going to be able to think like a princess or a prince. But I'm telling you, if you'll commit to God and to this is a good book. It's called The Love Letter from God. If you'll commit to it, you'll begin to see your thinking change. You know, it's like the guy that was in World War II. They were, I think it was the Bastogne, that they all got surrounded and the supplies was cut off, and the general that was in there, this is actual history, the general that was in there, some corporals came up to him and said, we're surrounded. He said, good, that way we can shoot anyway and kill them. We can shoot any direction and kill them. Royalty, a warrior. Somebody confused. We'll never win. Do you see it? You're thinking, I've often encouraged you, I don't know if anybody's ever done this, put a little recorder in your pocket. Press it when you get up and forget about it. Do it for 3 days. You know, make sure you got plenty of little cartridges, and when it clicks, put another one in. Do it for 3 days, and then take the next week to go back and listen to what you say. Your words will betray your source. And it'll tell you, I promise you, it'll tell you if you have a royalty mentality, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the living God, and he likes me. Or you get the hee-haw anointing. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Ah! Deep dark depression. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. I mean, I'm showing my age here, if you remember that. You know, so, Let me give you some. Number one, I'm just going to go over the principles and then pick it up and try to conclude it. Number one is when you have a royal mentality, you begin to understand your privilege. The Scripture outlines to you privileges. And I only gave you a smattering, but I've got three or four pages at the house that I'm going to be working into a sermon to show you your privilege. One of them is prayer. You know, one of the commands of Scripture is this. Listen, ask, and you will receive. It's a promise of privilege. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, guess what's going to happen? That door will open. It's a privilege of being a son and daughter of the living God. But I digress. Not let me go there. Number two is confidence. Confidence that no matter how bad, and listen, I'm not trying to downplay bad things. I mean, Dustin over here was hit by a car, almost died, was in the hospital for 3 months. We didn't know if he was going to be a vegetable or what. But I'm telling you, in that process, I felt confidence come up to me in my soul. And Nancy and I both, and there was a time, it was like God just came in and flipped the switch. And it's kind of like, we're getting our son back. He's not going to die. He's going to live to declare the glories of God. I understand hardships. Hardships affect rich people, poor people, and everything in between. Josh and I were talking this morning about how, I can't remember if it was Josh, somebody else I was talking to, but about how there's a lot of rich people got everything that they want, and they're the most loneliest people on the face of the earth. Now, I'd like to be tempted with that, you know, see if I can handle some of all that money, you know. Was it me and you talking? I can't remember if it was, maybe it was somebody else. So there's confidence toward God. You know, the fear of the Lord, the proverb says that the fear of the Lord brings great confidence. Do you walk around in confidence? I mean, I don't want you to be plastic, and when something terrible happens, you know, maybe a loved one has a heart attack, I don't want you to be loosey-goosey. You know, you have to admit, hey, I've got a loved one that's sick. But see, that's when confidence comes up, because the confidence, get this, connects to the privilege. And that privilege, which I just gave you earlier, if I pray, He hears. Here's a pauper mentality. You ready? I don't pray because He never does anything. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And when I begin to listen to their story, it's kind of like, well, it's obvious. What do you mean? You're making terrible decisions in your life. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Bible calls it sin. And Psalm 66:13 says this. You ready? Pull your toes in just a little bit. I don't want to hurt your toes. 66:13 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. You know why? Because He's mean? No, because He's a holy God. You ever seen those people said, I don't need God, I'm not bad? You ever heard them? I'm good. You know, when I compare myself to Ted Bundy, I'm rocking. Hey, baby, I ain't killing no ladies, you know, I'm not berserko, I ain't addicted to pornography like he was all that. But listen, it all depends on who do you compare yourself to. How about Mother Teresa? I'm kind of coming up short on the stick on that one. But there's no human being that represents the standard. Guess who the standard is? He is. So when I compare my righteousness to His holiness, there's a gap. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus. So I can be forgiven. And guess what happens? He cleanses me. And He says, come on into my presence. Privilege, confidence. Number two is you become one with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, my spirit and His spirit are one. That's where that fellowship happens. That's why we can expect Him to speak to us. And we discern the voice of God. Yes? No, I said 1 Corinthians 6:17. That was Paul. What verse are you referring to? Yeah, that's John 17. Which, by the way, I won't go there, but which, by the way, he says, I give them my glory. You talk about privilege. You carry it. See, most of us say, oh no, you know why? Well, I'm just a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. I'll never measure up. The truth is, you were a sinner. You're now a saint. Read any of the letters that Paul wrote. He doesn't say to the stinking, rocking, wormy sinners that God hates, but somehow you're going to heaven. He always says to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Colossae, to the saints. And he wasn't being poetic or metaphoric. He was calling them who they were. There's a mentality that God is seeking to raise up in His people. It'll put a spring in your step when you realize that God is with you. And even Jesus said in John 14, we'll come to you and make our abode. In other words, we'll make home, our home with you. If you just meditate on those scriptures, it'll scramble your brain up. You'll begin to think, my experience is not lining up with this stuff. And most people say, well, this must be not true because my experience doesn't reflect it. Listen, that's called deception. Because this is true. And so what it means is that, Lord, help me to see how I need to get into this mentality and begin to walk as a son or daughter of God. I'm telling you, things are changed. It really will. But you got to see it. You got to experience His love. You got to experience His forgiveness. All right? All right, the old, you know, badness in me. You got to confess that you're a sinner, and you got to ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to come in and be your Lord and Savior. And then say, okay, I'm yours. Show me this stuff. Privilege, unity with Him. And then the fourth one that we talked about is ownership. Being a proprietor. I told you that when I was going to get my PhD, I worked at Zaxby's, and I worked, you know, when you work with a bunch of hormonal teenagers, it's take a whole lot to get noticed, but so I became the manager, you know, and I was given the right to be the proprietor. I represented the owner of that establishment. You know what that means? That means if you made me mad, I could call the police and have you escorted off that property. I've had them look at me and say, you're a racist. You're just a racist. I said, no, I'm not. I can refuse to serve anybody I want to. And if you're going to act like a patootie, I don't want you in my establishment. You can't do that. Watch me. I'm going to call the police. Let me do that for you. Ownership. Own the kingdom. Jesus said, I gladly give you the kingdom. There's no measuring up. There's no jumping through the hoops. He said, I gladly. What is the kingdom? Romans 10, 17. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I gladly give you the kingdom. Guys, listen. Let's walk in it. Let's walk in it. The next thing is simply this. Try to wrap this up in 10 or 15 minutes. I may have to repent for lying, but it is knowing in your knower. Okay? That's the only way I know how to say it. It is knowing in your knower that you are accepted by God. Ephesians 4, 8 says that we are accepted by or in the Beloved. Do you think it will affect the way that you live your life if you know you're right with God? That your words, your attitude, your choices in life reflect Him? And that you're right, that no matter what happens to you, whether you're persecuted for your values, I've been doing this for 20-something years, and I've been spit on, I've been cussed, I've been pushed down, all kind of crazy stuff that happened. That's why I have a German Shepherd now. It's kind of like, hey, I'd like you to meet Sinesis. Sinesis? And then they have a little prayer meeting. I do have a dog, but no, I've never sicked her. She trains with the police dog, so every now and then we get to bite bad guys. But knowing that I'm accepted, there's something about assurance. Assurance. Here's one way I know in my knower. When I do happen to muck up from time to time, immediately God says, hey, I see that thought running around in your heart. Oh, Father, you're right. I am so sorry. You know, the other side of that happens to me as well. Go through something. I have what I call evening reflections when I lay my head on the bed. I encourage you to do this. I lay my head. One of the last things I do before I go to sleep is I simply ask him this question. How did I do today? And there are times when he goes, man, you just knocked it out of the park. And there are times as, you remember that conversation? I thought you were going to bring that up. You were saying all the right things, but I saw your heart. I'm sorry, God, forgive me. Instantly, I'm forgiven. You know why? That's assurance. You know why? Because he loves me so much. He didn't want to lose me. He don't want me to go down a sinful path and separate my fellowship with him. Because he knows it's for my good always. And after 20-something years, I'm learning, yeah, it's always for my good. It is smart to love Jesus. Let me tell you. It is smart to walk with him. There's this assurance that comes. Let's look at some scriptures together. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Am I making sense here? Everybody's tracking with me. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's just read some scriptures about this sense of, yeah, I'm right with God. God loves me. I'm his favorite. You have my permission to walk around saying that. And I will disagree with you and say, no, I'm his favorite. The truth is, we all are his favorite. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 11. We ready? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the witness that he was righteous. And God testifying to his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. You know, God says, listen, he's righteous. How would you like to go? You ever had your daddy or your mama after you come up to you and just pat you on the back and said, yeah. Man, that was great, man. It's the same thing. God goes to Abel and said, your sacrifice? Yeah. I love it. Because see, he gave a sacrifice of blood, which reflected the fact and pointed to that the cross was coming. All right, let's read the next verse because there's another one there. Look at this one. And by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and it was not and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. Here it is, that he pleased God. Assurance. Listen, guys, is that in you today? I mean, don't answer it out loud, but you need to answer it. Is there something in you that goes, God's my daddy, and we're tracking on down life's road, baby? Or is there something in you going, I ain't got a clue. I don't know what's going on. And all these people. If you constantly make excuses and blame others, you're not right with God. I mean, I love you, but you are not right with God. That's why I said put the little recorder in your pocket and listen to it after about 3 days. It'll take you a week to go back and listen to it, but it will reveal a lot. Now let's go on. Do you remember, I won't turn there, but you remember Job 19:25. What did he say? I know, come on, some of you guys have been walking with me. I know, that's Jeremiah 29. Job 19:20, I know my Redeemer liveth. All right, doing a little Bible quiz here, right? I got one up on you because I prepared it. I already know the answers. Right. Listen, what did he say? I know my Redeemer liveth. You know, there's a song. Somebody sings that song in contemporary. I don't know who it is, but it's really good. You know, I know my Redeemer. Care Joe does. I know my Redeemer liveth. When Dusty was in the throes of death, and we got permission to do the Easter. It was Easter out there in California, and I got permission from the authorities, the hospital authorities, to allow us to have a 10-minute Easter service in his room. We all gathered around him, and you know what we sang? We sang, God, we don't understand you, or you're a bad God. There's no way you'd ever, if you loved us, you'd no way that you'd ever let this happen to him, and I'm gonna either sue that person or kill her that ran over him. No, we didn't do that. You know what we sang? We gathered around him, and we held hands, and we began to sing, It Is Well With Our Souls. It is well with our souls. You know why we could do that? Because my Redeemer lives. And the truth is, even though in my heart I was hurting, and I wanted him to wake up and say, get this thing out of my mouth, it took about another 2.5 months for that to occur. But you know why? I'm telling you. I am no, and please don't think I'm some kind of super duper person. Well, actually, I am super duper. But if you walk with God, you are too. Because there was something in me that said, it's well with my soul. I trust my daddy. I know my Redeemer liveth. Is that echoing in your heart? You're preaching good. Glory to God. Listen. It's kind of like Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 6 if I wrote it down right. We actually sang it this morning about coming to it and taking the coal and touching his face, you know, touching him. Let's just read that together real quick. Isaiah chapter 6. And he sees the Lord, he has this vision, and in verse 7 he says, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people unclean. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of the hosts. And one of the seraphims flew over to me, having in his hand a live coal, which was taken from the tongs from the altar, which was before God in this vision that he had. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lip, your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged. And right after that, the first thing that he said, when God said, who will I send? He raised his hand and said, yep, I can do that. And right before that, in verse 5, he's saying, I'm undone. Do you see what an encounter with God will do for you? In a moment of times, shift! It shifts. Let's go to some more scriptures. Romans chapter 8, real quickly. We go about 10 more minutes. Romans chapter 8. I know Romans 8 in here somewhere. Verse 15 following. For you did not, this is talking about a believer who is right with God, who's repented of their sins and asked Christ to forgive them and to come live inside of them, to have a relationship with him. And he says this, I lost my place. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are, listen, the children of God. And if children, here it is, heirs also. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You see, inside of you, Abba is the Hebrew word which literally means daddy. Inside of you as a believer, there's something that goes, daddy. You know, I got invited by my grandson who was turning 4 to come up to his birthday party. You know? And he doesn't call me daddy, obviously, because I'm not his daddy. But you know what he calls me? Big daddy. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, Big Daddy, how much you want? Just here, just get whatever you want. Abba, Father. What do you call him? I mean, don't answer out loud. Do you call him cruel? Do you call him a mystery? You call him, dude, I can't figure you out. Or do you call him daddy? You know, I love rubbing shoulders with what they call the millennials. They're just as crazy as I was when I was their age. And if you say the word Christian to them, that has a negative connotation, because when I minister to them now, they say, you're a Christian. I said, oh no, I'm a Jesus follower. And for some reason they go, oh, okay, I'll talk to you. You know, they don't have a clue. I mean, but if I can connect with them. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 4 real quick. You guys don't have your apps turned on, your phone for the turn page. I like hearing pages turn. Somebody rattle your page so I can hear it. Thank you for that. I love hearing the pages turn. Thank you. Now hit your neighbor with your Bible because they're sleeping. No, I'm teasing. Don't do that. Verse 4 in chapter 4 of Galatians, it says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they may receive the adoption as sons. And because you are a son, now we can go ahead and say / daughter, all right? Because we're not doing, obviously, son is inclusive, but we don't want to offend anybody today. Because you are a son or daughter, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, what? Abba, Father. Therefore, because of that, you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. If a son or a daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. You know, I had the privilege of watching my daddy go to heaven when he was almost 92. Ready to go to heaven. Ready to go. I had an uncle who battled cancer for 17 years. And he was ready to go to heaven. You know, and we all gathered around him. I think I shared this with you. And we knew it was time. We knew it. The doctors already told us. And outside of a miracle, of course, they had already cut his leg off all the way up to here. And so, you know, he was snockered. Morphine, they have some kind of concoction that just, you know. And then all of a sudden he just set up. And his wife's name was Aline. Aline! And we all, what? Look! And he pointed to the corner of the room and we all went, it's a spider, you know. She said, what is it? He said, don't you see him? And she said, who? It's Jesus. And she said, go with him. And he laid down, took his last breath. That was definitely cool. Now, it's kind of like, dude, that's the way I want to go out. I'd like to still have my leg, though. You know what that is? Even on his deathbed, there was that assurance. And let me tell you the other, you know, I'm a pastor, you know, man of the cloth. I've been in some rooms for the last breath of those last couple of minutes, and it wasn't, look, there's Jesus. You know what they were screaming? Is God is my witness. Get me out of these flames. That's not assurance. It kind of puts the fear of God in you. 1 John. Got mighty quiet in here. 1 John. I'm not trying to scare you. Okay, maybe just a little bit. Somebody said, what do you do every Sunday? I said, I load up both barrels and I try to preach the hell out of people. You know, trying to preach heaven into them, get hell out of them. But listen, here's the deal. You will have that moment in time when you take your last breath. You will not be late for that appointment. And you will be present. If you don't have the assurance, today's the day to get it. Listen to 1 John. It says this. Verse 5. 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5. And this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, listen, that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And verse 9, and we receive the witness, it says in verse 9. We receive the witness of men, and the witness of God is greater. For it is this witness which God, he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has a witness where? In himself or herself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given us, his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is in the Son. I could go on and on. There's a twofold witness on this assurance. Number one, it's God bearing witness to your heart. Number two, there's an inner witness that goes, yeah. Yeah, I'm right with God. I receive the inheritance of being a son or daughter. I now move from being a pauper. Colossians says it this way: he has translated us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his Son. I move from being a pauper to a prince or a princess. It begins with a simple commitment to God. And then from that day forward, your mind, as what Paul says, renew it. That mind begins to get renewed, because the seed of God's kingdom, which is like a leaven, starts leavening your thinking. And you begin to question, where did that come from? Here's the sign. You ready? You used not to think this way. Now all of a sudden you're starting to think, why do I lose my temper all the time? What is my first response? Bitterness and anger. You know what that is? Kingdom, priestly thinking is coming up in you. I ran into I might get in trouble here, but I love all people, including female people, all right? I don't love them as much as I love my wife. I don't have a problem in that area. But I ran into a feminist, a radical feminist. And God love them. It's kind of like, and man, she was chewing my butt up. I mean, I shouldn't say butt in church, right? I'm sorry about that. Anyhow, she was chewing my tea, honey. And so after it was all over, she didn't really know what was going inside of me. I was laughing on the inside and trying my best to control it, because I knew if I started laughing, it'd even make her more mad, you know. And so, you know, I smiled at her and I thanked her. And so we started to go out the door, and I grabbed the door and I opened it for her. And she got halfway and stopped. You don't have to open that door for me, because I'm a lady. And I said, I didn't. Well, why did you do it? I did it because I'm a gentleman. Royalty. She went, you could tell she was wanting to say something. She finally went, she ran into royalty. She didn't know what to do with it. I'm telling you, if you think like a son or daughter of God, half your arguments that people have against you or their attitude against you would just simply dissipate. I'll close with this. I read a book title. I didn't read the book. A book title that said this. God's in charge, but he's not in control. And I looked at that and I thought, I'm sorry, sometimes I don't know what to do with all these degrees I've got because my mind kicks in. You know. And I thought to myself, that's an oxymoron. How can somebody be in charge and not be in control? It's like somebody at work, you know, it's like me at Zaxby's giving some employees a task to do and then don't give them the authority to do it. Yeah, so it got me thinking. God is in control. All right? The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But I want to read you something. And I promise you, I am actually concluding now, so y'all just hang on. I want to read you something out of Psalms 115. It says this in verse 16. If you want to look at it, you can. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. That's a good, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. But the earth he has given to the children of men. Now, if I was God, I wouldn't have done that because we have made a mess of things. But you know what's underneath that verse? God has so much faith in you and I that we're going to rise into our position of royalty and walk with dominion in whatever area God has us in. Whether it be in our families, our jobs, what we do is with our time and recreation, whatever it may be. The earth, the heavens, and the highest heavens is God's, is the Lord's. But the earth, he's given to you and I. Man, okay. Pause for dramatic effect. Let it sink in. The earth, the heavens and the highest heavens are God. But the earth, he's given to you. Now listen. That verse is a good one to meditate on. I'm telling you, it's a good one to meditate on. You know, most of us would go, no thank you, I don't want it. And that's why we have issues after issues after issues. God is not going to, in our society today, what we keep doing is lowering the bar. And we go to these games with all these kids, and I'm fixing to get in trouble. You know, and then after the game, everybody wins. How many of you know that is a lie in life? In life, everybody don't win. In life, there's one winner and a whole bunch of losers. And I'm telling you, in Christ we win. Rise to your authority. Now stand with me real quickly. Let's pray. Close your eyes and let's just pray real quickly. I've said a lot here today. I trust it's the Lord. It's come from his book, so it's a good book, right? If you're not right with God, you know it. And I don't have to pull your chain because the Holy Ghost is already pulling on it. But if that's something that's going around in your heart right now, even if there's something that goes, man, I connect with what he's saying, I'm just not living it. It's not in me. I want to pray for you today. So if that's you, can you just lift your hand real quickly so I can pray with you? There's no shame in this. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. All right, now, for those of you who raised your hand on the inside but not on the outside, I want you to agree with me in prayer, okay? Here we go. Lord Jesus, we just come before you right now, and you saw the hands that went up. Lord, you're doing business in this place, and you also saw the hands that went up on the inside but not on the outside. Lord, you're doing business right now. I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring each of us into a mentality of being royalty, of being yours, a son or daughter of God. Now, I want you to agree with me. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if this is you, I just want you to simply agree with me when I pray this. Lord, I come to you now, and I realize that I've been living beneath who I am. I've been living beneath being a son or daughter of God. And I ask you to forgive me. You are a good God. You're a wonderful God. And there's so much more that you want me to experience with you in your kingdom on planet Earth than I have experienced to this point. I am sorry for making bad decisions, wrong decisions, because I primarily don't consult you. From this day forward, I will consult you. I ask that you come and invade my heart and my mind. Cleanse me from all sin and wrong thinking and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if that's you and you agree with it, just say, in your heart, just say, yes, Lord, that's me. There you go. Yes, Lord, that's me. Now, Father, seal your word today. And we thank you for the changes that's coming that allows us to walk in your kingdom as sons and daughters of God, rightly representing you on planet Earth. The heavens are yours, but you've entrusted Earth to us. And we want to see your glory. Cover the waters. Cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? We'll hug each other, love a little bit. If you're a single parent, if you could stay a little bit, I want to get some ideas from you about how we can minister to that population here in Lake City. But fellowship for several minutes.